I kind of feel like a substitute today. Substituting for one of the best pastors that I know. But that reminds me of a story I heard about. A little boy came home from Sunday school, and he told his dad that the teacher said they were going to have a substitute the next Sunday. And so his dad said, well, he said, well, what's that mean? What's a substitute? And dad said, well, let me explain it to you this way. If you break a window, you get a piece of cardboard and you put it in the window, or a piece of wood or something to take the place of the real pane of glass that you need to get and put in later. And he says, oh, I see. I understand that. And so he went back to Sunday school the next Sunday, and, boy, that substitute was really good, really enjoyed the lesson. And so he thought, well, after the class was over, he went up and told his substitute, he said, you weren't a real substitute, you were a real pain. So maybe I can be a real pain today as I share with you. Being old, that makes me come from the old school. Now, you kids might not know what the old school is, but that's the old way we used to do things. And you'll find your bulletin, a piece of paper with Soul Care on it. It's my PowerPoint. It's called Pencil and Paper. You can take the teacher out of the classroom, but you can't take the classroom out of the teacher. So I usually like to give handouts out so you can write down what we talk about, and that way it helps you to remember better. Let's open in prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would use me. Set aside any words that I might have and use only your words to touch our hearts. Give us a teachable spirit, and we'll pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is the last day of the year, 2017. And it is going by quickly. And I can remember Y2K, for you guys that weren't around then. That's when we went from 1999 to 2000. And here it is, 17 years later. Amazing, isn't it? But tomorrow begins a new year, a new year to do what we had planned to do. What do we usually do on New Year's? We make resolutions, don't we? I'm not sure why, because most of us don't keep them, but it's just formality, I guess. But think about what resolutions you make. Many of us like to say we're going to resolve to lose weight. Well, that doesn't work out all the time, but at least it's a resolution. Some of us say we're going to resolve to get in shape. How many have Fitbits? Hold your Fitbit up. Okay. Or other devices. Keep track of those steps. You know, you got to get 10,000 steps in every day. I feel a little silly sometimes walking around the kitchen now and getting my last couple hundred steps in. But we got to get our steps in. We want to stay in shape. We want to eat healthy. Might be another resolution you might make. Most of our resolutions, not all of them, but a lot of our resolutions are concerning our bodies. We want to take care of our bodies. And ladies, we have to give you credit because you do a better job at this than we do. I just want to share a few statistics with you. I'm a retired math teacher, so I like stats. And I just want to share some with you. And I'm not picking on you, ladies, because we love the way you look. You always look beautiful and take care of yourself. But nationally, women spend $30 billion annually on beauty salons, $4 billion on makeup. That's a lot of money. There was a lotion company that did a survey on 3,000 women from ages 16 to 75. And it revealed that ladies are definitely taking good care of their faces. And as a result, they came out with this this fact that the average value of the woman of a woman's face costs $8 per day with lotions and creams and all those things. And that equals $2,920 a year. I don't get too comfortable, guys, because we know you are worried about your physique. You want to have those abs and all those. You want to look good. You don't want anybody to kick sand in your face when you're on the beach. And so that's something to think about. Health club industry revenues is $27.6 billion. We spend a lot of time, effort, and money taking care of our bodies. And you know what? We should. Because in God's word, it tells us we need to take care of our bodies. Ephesians 5:29. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they fed and cared for their body, just as Christ does the church. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. God the Father created our bodies. God the Son redeemed our bodies. And God the Holy Spirit indwells our bodies. So we have the whole Trinity involved in our bodies, and that we do need to take care of them. And but there's bad news. Do you know what the bad news is? Yeah. If you're not, if you don't get out of bed in the morning and find yourself a little stiff, thank the Lord. That means you're still young. The bad news is that these bodies are going to die. I guarantee you 100% your body's going to die someday. You know that your bodies are wearing out. As time goes on, it gets harder to do things. We forget things. Our bodies just wear out. So the question, the big question is, if we spend so much time, effort, and money in taking care of our bodies that are going to die, why don't we take better care of our soul that will never die? Good question, isn't it? Have you ever heard someone say, your body has a soul? That's incorrect. Because your soul and your spirit have a body. You see, the priority is the soul and spirit, and then the body. There's two different views on this, and you may have a different view than I do, but the two views are, number one is dichotomy. Di meaning two. And those who believe that the spirit and the soul are the same. And then there's the body. So two parts of the human. Trichotomy says that there are three parts. The soul, the spirit, and the body. Well, I'm going to share with you two scriptures here that I think supports the trichotomy approach. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I'm a trichotomist, I guess you can say. Well, what is it about the soul? We got these three parts. How do they interact? Well, first of all, let's talk about the soul. The soul is that unseen part of us that will live for eternity. It's made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's our soul. And from that, from our soul, from the mind, will, and emotions, we develop a value system. We develop attitudes. We reason things. We have a conscience. And the most important one is the capacity to make choices. God gave us that. So, in essence, a person is not that physical body you look at. It's not. It's the soul. The soul characteristics is what God looks at. 1 Samuel 16:7 reads, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And the king, and that's the same as the soul. Of course, we would never, ever judge a person by their physical characteristics, would we? Yeah, we do, don't we? Well, unfortunately, we do. But God doesn't look at our physical part. He looks at our inner part, our soul. Well, let's look and see how these three parts interact with one another, why God created us this way, the soul, the spirit, and body. Our souls are who we really are, and God gave us a living body so that we can interact with our physical world. That's why we have bodies, so that we can drive, we can eat, we can sleep, we can do all the things that the physical world offers us. But we have to remember, these bodies are only what I call earth suits. We use these suits while we're on earth. And when we are finished serving here on earth, these bodies will die. They will go back to dust or ashes, whatever you prefer. But they are not going to leave this earth. They are only earth suits. Paul called them tents. Of course, he was a tent maker, so he related to that very well. And you know what happens to tents over a long period of time. They wear out, and that's the same with our bodies. Now, the good news is, if you're a child of God, when you leave this world, when your soul and your spirit leave this world, you're going to receive a glorified body. That's exciting, because that will be the perfect body, one that we can live with for eternity in heaven with our Lord and Savior. Now, why the spirit? Well, if you look in your leaflet there, I have three circles. Just like the physical body connects us to the physical world, the spirit connects us to the spiritual world, connects our soul to the spiritual world. And our spirit with the Holy Spirit provides access to our Heavenly Father and to Jesus, His Son. So that's why we have the body and the spirit to connect us to those two things from our souls. Do you realize that your soul is your most valuable possession? Why is that? Well, there's many reasons. I'm just going to give you five this morning. Number one, Your souls are valuable because an all-powerful, perfect God created them. Genesis 2:7 says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." King James Version says, "living soul." Not only did God create us, but it's what he made us that makes us so very valuable. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." Now, what does the phrase mean, "in his own image"? Does it mean that God looks like us? No, I know that for a fact. We're not talking physically, because God is spirit. John 4:24 says, "God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth." So how were we made like God then? Well, I believe that God created Adam and Eve. He made them like himself in the fact that they were perfect people in all ways and not subject to death. Their souls, their spirit, their bodies were all totally connected with God. It was a perfect, perfect connection. And even the creation of the garden was perfect. We are the only part of God's creation, think about this, that can commune with its creator. Number three, your soul is valuable because God made you unique, one of a kind. Think about that. How many billions, trillions of people lived since Adam and Eve up to our present day? A lot. And guess what? There was never one like you. You are unique because God makes everyone differently. We know that because of our fingerprints. But even we could take that a step further now with DNA. There's nobody that has, the same DNA. I don't know about you, but that's living proof for me that God created man and woman. To think that all the people that wherever lived, and all the people that will live from this day forward, there'll never be another one like you. You are unique. Number four, the fact that God made your soul a spirit and spirit a permanent entity. Think about that. From the time of your conception, you became a living soul for eternity. You will never die. Your soul will never die. And your spirit. Your body will one day pass away. But your soul will live forever. Number five, why is our soul so valuable? Well, because God the Father and Christ the Son paid an immeasurable price for your soul. Think about it. You say, well, God didn't have to go through too much. Yes, he did. He had to give his only son. And not only give his only son, but he had to, when it came to that cross, he had to turn his back on his son. And, of course, Christ was willing to do God's will and gave his life for our sins. Now, why would God do that? Well, Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." didn't have to wait till we get cleaned up. He loves us just like we are. Let's look at a couple, let's look at three goals that we have established for soul care. You know, God made everything with a purpose, for a purpose. And he made you for a purpose, you young people. He made you for a definite primary purpose. And I believe that is the goal of soul care, to achieve the will of God, what he put us on this earth for, to achieve that purpose. Find out what your purpose is and set your heart, your goal, to follow that through. That is soul care. That's why you take care of your soul. As I said, no one's here by accident. God has a purpose for each one of us. The primary functional goal is found in Matthew 22, 36 to 39. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. There's a little saying that says, God wants your all or none at all. God doesn't like lukewarm. Excuse me. He likes hot or cold. He doesn't like cold, but he doesn't want us to be wishy-washy. He wants our all or none at all. Love. Why did God create us? Because he loved. He wanted someone to love. And he wanted someone that would love him back. That is our functional goal was in taking care of our souls. What is our character goal? It should be to become more like Jesus every day. The fruit of the Spirit is what we should be building into our lives and asking God to, through his Holy Spirit, make us more like Jesus. Romans 5:17 says, for if the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, that was Adam. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in the life through one man, Jesus Christ? It's all about love, isn't it? So why don't we take better care of our souls? Why? The question is, why don't we? Well, I think there's one big fundamental reason. And I believe that reason is because it takes one of the most precious resources that we have. T-I-M-E. Time. It doesn't only take time. You can give time to anything. But you don't always give quality time. It takes quality time to take care of your soul. Think about this. If you live to be 67, compacting all the time into years, you would spend 3 years getting an education, 8 years in recreation and resting, 6 years in eating. Might be a little more for Emmanuel people. We like to eat. 5 years riding in a car, 4 years talking, 14 years working, 3 years reading, and 24 years sleeping. I don't think that counts, my naps. But think about it. How much time do you think you give to God? Well, if you went to church every week and you prayed 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the evening, you would be giving God 5 months out of 67 years. I don't know about you, but that made me think. Soul care means quality time. It demands quality time. It's worthy of quality time. And it cannot take place without quality time. Let me conclude with three disciplines of soul care. And these are important. Number one, knowing and loving God. I like this quote that I got from this book. It says, the depth of love in any relationship is in direct proportion to the knowledge people have of each other and the degree of their intimacy. Think about it. When you were dating, you wanted to spend as much time as you could with that special one. And you wanted to get to know them. And eventually you begin to fall in love with them. I take that back. You begin to love them. I don't believe you fall in love. Because if you fall in love, you can fall out of love. And that's not true. Love is an act of the will. And therefore, you develop an intimacy with them. And that's what God wants. He wants you to get to know him and love him more. And that's what quality time does. If I could, I just want to give you a few suggestions that I go through sometimes when I do my devotional. Personal worship. One of the best devices I ever received was an iPod. And on that little iPod, I have Dan's favorite hymns, Dan's favorite courses, Dan's favorite devotional music, Dan's favorite Christmas songs. I got all my lists there. But I like to put on that devotional music, which is all instrumental, and just get into worship and thanking God for the many blessings that he has bestowed upon me and my family and upon this church, this fellowship. And then I like to take my Bible. And before I read, I like to pray. I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart and teach me the truth from God's word. And then I begin to read. And sometimes I only read a few verses, and the Holy Spirit will touch my heart with something that I need to do, take care of, or something that he wants to impress on me that particular day. Now, 17 years ago, I started journaling. And so 17 years I've been journaling. And it helps me because my mind is not like yours, I'm sure. My mind kind of loses focus when I'm praying, when I'm reading. I lose focus. So I find journaling helps me to keep focused. And I really enjoy doing it. It's an excellent way to slow down my mind and record those things that God is teaching me. Now, I will admit there are times when I read a chapter or two and I don't seem to sense any revelation, then I will write out a prayer to God and just thank him and praise him and tell him how much I love him. Now, I realize journaling isn't for everyone, but I'm hooked. I like it. It's something that I really enjoy doing. And then I close in prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to keep his hand upon me, use me, help me to show the love of Christ to everyone I meet. Don't think that I am perfect in any way. I'm far from it. There are times when I'm going through a difficult time in my life, and I did the same thing you did. I said, why, God? Why would you allow this to happen? And you know, God seemed to say, Dan, you know too much of the situation and not enough of me. He would remind me. He said, "I'm omnipotent. I'm almighty. I'm a ruler of the universe. Is there anything too great for me?" There's this little thing that I learned a long time ago, and I shared it with in Sunday school class, so forgive me if I share it again. It's called the gaze and the glance principle. And it's like a triangle, okay? And God's up here at the apex, and I'm here. And over here is my problem, my adversity, my trial. And what happens? Gaze. You know what gaze is. That's what you did when that young lady walked into the church for the first time and you thought, wow, she is something. That's what gaze is. You stare, okay? And glance is what you do when you're going down the road and you take a glance and your wife hollers at you, watch the road. But that's a glance. Well, this is what we do. This is what I do. I tend to gaze at my problem and glance at God. God, help me here. I got a problem. And it should be, I look at God. I gaze at God. I know who he is. I know the great God he is. I know how omnipotent he is. And then I just glance at my problem because he's going to take care of it anyhow. So maybe that'll be something that you can remember the next time you are faced with an adversity. Number two, second discipline, loving and being loved through fellowship. We can't go it alone. We have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but we need each other. We need fellowship. And God created us to reinforce, to sustain, to nurture each other. And the main task of the church is what? Soul care. You come here to get your soul fed, to get your soul right with God, to meet other people and share with them. And they will support you. We have many opportunities of fellowship at Emmanuel, Sunday school classes, Bible studies, small groups, and there's many more. But sharing and caring is what God intended for us in order to take care of our soul and help others do the same. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Some people say, I don't need a church. Oh, yes, you do. You need the church. You need fellowship. You need people to support you. You need to be able to share your burdens. And the last discipline here is loving through service. Loving through service. There's no substitute for selfless service to others. It will help our souls to grow and become healthy. Now, there needs to be a balance because we can just sit and take in all this spiritual knowledge and understanding and love and everything. But there has to be a balance. If all we do is take in, we're going to become indifferent or stagnant in our walk with God. But if we are always giving out, and not taking in, we will become burned out. And that's not what God wants either. So to have a healthy soul, you need to have a balance of taking in spiritual knowledge and so forth, and serving somewhere where God has placed you. My closing question, Matthew 16:26, on the front of your paper. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? That's an awesome question. That's a question everybody needs to answer. Since our souls are the most important possession that God has given us, that will last for eternity. We should be very careful in our consideration about that soul. There's only two places your soul can go when you leave this earth. And if you never opened your soul to Christ, our Lord, January 31st, 2017 would be a great birthday, spiritual birthday. You would never forget it. You need to do that. If Christ is not the Lord of your soul, then self, yourself is the Lord of your soul. That won't get you to heaven. God sent his Son to die on the cross for your sins, for my sins. And he gives us the choice to accept him, accept Christ's sacrifice for our sins. And thereby, we can live eternity, for eternity with God. Now, maybe most of you here are in God's family. Well, you need to ask yourself this question, which I had to do when I read that book. Have you neglected taking care of your soul? This would be a good time, a great time, to recommit our lives to giving God quality time to speak into our souls. We need to take care of the most important part of our being,